When you look at an athlete and they do these incredible explosive movements, it looks like they do it effortlessly.
Well, for LeBron James, that's so true.
There's no force. It just manifests. They just flow through it. That is what we should be trying to achieve.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. Most of us have come to terms that we'll never be a professional athlete. What's hard to accept is how our bodies have become so tight as we get older. One way to unknot those muscles is through Rolfing, what started in the 1940s and is now commonly called structural integration. It's a series of body work sessions practiced by licensed massage therapists like Eli Thompson in Greater Boston. These sessions just may help Dr. Steve Roberts return to his glory days. Steven, I know you were a pretty competitive athlete in college, and you had some tight muscles along the way, didn't you?
I was a competitive long-distance runner. Never quite got as good as I was hoping to in the end, and really being injury-plagued was a big part of that. I was running 100 miles a week. I was doing lots of stretching with it. I was doing yoga, at least 20 minutes a day, and oftentimes, 40 minutes to an hour a day of it. And it seemed like it wasn't always the flexibility that was the issue, but muscles would just get too tight, and then they would kind of just be overstretched and strained. And then it's been a 10-year journey of ups and downs and re-injuries and trying to run again. And people always telling me I'm pushing myself too hard and never holding back enough. And really, when I'm at a point where I'm running 2 days a week, 20 minutes each time, and then even that's not enough for my body to hold up, it seems like there's something I'm missing in the equation of all of this.
Well, Steven, it's not a surprise that our bodies break down a little bit as we get older, unfortunately. And this is nothing new to our next guest. Eli Thompson is not only a licensed massage therapist, but he practices structural integration. Hi, Eli.
Hi.
Eli, Steven's situation, the body just getting tighter and tighter as he gets older and older, this is just a common occurrence that you must see every day.
Yes, it is pretty common. And many people get tighter and tighter, though others get looser and looser. It really depends on what they're doing. Steven has a history of running, I heard, and that history grew a tight body, which now is getting tighter and tighter. If he was a forgive the term, a couch potato, he'd be looser.
No, wait a minute. This seems to be counterintuitive. If he was a couch potato, he would be looser today because of inactivity?
Yeah, it is the activity, is the lifestyle that we live that grows the body. And so the amount of exercise and strain that you create in the body grows a body designed for that. And if you overdo it, it grows a body that's overly designed for it or too tight.
Well, clearly, if we're a couch potato, it's pretty obvious, right? But it would also seem that there could be these incremental changes that are happening to our body with activity that we're not paying attention to. And then one day we wake up and we have this tight body.
Yes. Ultimately, it's always growing. So it's been growing for the whole lives. And when we feel it, is when the symptoms start coming. So it was tight the day before you felt it, but now it's tight enough to feel it.
So what are we supposed to do?
Ultimately, ideally, we should be living a lifestyle that supports both mobility and strength. If all we're doing is strength training, then we're going to grow a system that's very strong and yet very limited in its mobility, thus a very compressed system. On the other hand, if all we're doing is practicing yoga and getting looser and more stretchy, we're going to have a system that's eventually going to become almost unstable, and it's too loose. We need the middle ground.
Eli, I've certainly been willing to put in the work, and so I've been, searching for the right way to kind of go about doing this from different forms and disciplines of physical therapy. I've done dry needling, trigger point therapy stuff. It wasn't just the yoga, but I've gone on to do these other things. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious because you've mentioned the term and you are primarily practicing structural integration now. How is this related to not just Rolfing, but I also see postural restoration therapy. You know, is this more a fascia-based thing, more a muscle-based thing? How would you really describe what you're doing with structural integration?
Structural integration is really about the fascial system and how the fascia has grown to organize us in space. Fascia is, in a sense, one way of thinking about it, it's the living leather in the body. It's designed to hold permanently. It's designed to support the chronic patterns in the body. Muscles are designed to change. They're designed to change all the time. That's their purpose. But fascia, as it grows, is designed to maintain the growth pattern. So whatever has been in the body for a long time, whatever you do a lot of, grows into the fascial system, which organizes every cell in the body. It keeps the cells in place and defines their relationship to each other. And so once it's grown in, it's pretty hard to unwind that, because now the system is designed to be that way. And thus all the function is working through that system. It, you know, the way you run, the way you move, the way you hold yourself is now defined by how the fascia has grown. Structural integration is about looking at that using visual assessment, and by seeing how the relationships of the bones to each other in gravity and in movement implies how the fascia grew internally to organize them and potentially limit them. And that's what guides the strategy of fascial manipulation to unwind that growth and free the potential to move differently, to organize differently.
Eli, you talk about how this grows with us and that it's happening before we even see it. But unfortunately, you don't see the patient until the pain is just unmanageable.
Yes.
And I would assume it would, if it was me or Stephen, we would walk in and just say, please help us with the pain management. But you really don't think that's the resolution, just helping us with the pain management. You want to take a more sustained solution approach to this.
Certainly. And structural integration very much is focused on resolving these things as opposed to just addressing the symptoms. The symptoms are generally not the problem. They're an indication of the problem. Where your symptom is often not where the problem is. It's where the body is struggling to compensate for the problem. Repeatedly every day struggling to compensate with imbalances that are grown into the system. If we are to improve the overall function and reduce the symptomology of it, we really need to both unwind the growth, the old growth. We need to help the client, the patient, figure out how to take advantage of the changes, the unwinding, so that they can move and live differently. And then the patient needs to actually live that life and grow a new chronic pattern.
It sounds like you're giving us a new opportunity to use our body differently.
Yes.
Why don't you walk us through some of the series of body work sessions that you do in the practice of structural integration?
Sure. So Ida Rolf, when she first created structural integration, it became nicknamed Rolfing and then trademarked. So all the other schools don't use that term anymore because it's trademarked. But structural integration, the way I practice it, is under Tom Meyer's Anatomy Trains. It's a different way of organizing the work, a different way of looking and seeing the body. We work through the body pretty systematically. There's 12 sessions. The first four sessions are about unwinding the sleeve, in a sense, of the body, the superficial tissue. The next four are about dealing with all the fascia that's organizing through the core, the center of us, the fascia that relates to the viscera, the cardiovascular system. And then the last four are about balancing the two together. Throughout all of this, we're working with different homework assignments to help the patient gain a renewed awareness of movements that they had as kids but no longer can do. Ultimately, in the body, if you can't move it, you can't feel it. And if you can't feel it, you can't control it. So if someone has a very stiff low back, they can't move their low back, then they can't feel what it would be like to move it. They can't even imagine what it would be like to move it, which means they can't control it. And so it's this kind of a downward spiral of growth that limits them more and more. And I'm trying to reverse that. I'm trying to create more potential for movement and then guide them to mindfully feel it and learn to move it more so that they can control it more and then thus grow it in a different direction. The key is growth. They need to grow themselves out of their chronic problem.
Hi, it's Ted taking a second to remind you that the Genius of Wellness is your place for interesting podcasts, tips for healthy living, and doctors who provide a personalized approach to healthcare. You can find it all, plus schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now back to our conversation. Like so many other things that Stephen deals with as a doctor, it does take the patient some responsibility to do the homework. How do you feel that your patients respond to that in this day and age?
Yeah, in different ways. Many of my patients are coming to me after referrals, and they're pretty desperate, so they're highly motivated. And once we start progressing through the work, they start feeling a change and understanding what it's about, and that increases their motivation. But ultimately, the analogy I give them is that they need to perceive themselves as the farmers of their own body, and you reap what you sow. If they're going to sit at a laptop for hours on end and force their body to conform to that function, it will grow into dysfunction and they'll have to suffer through it. But if they work to be mindful and not indulge in that so much, then they can grow a different system.
In terms of visualizing what this would be like, if I was to kind of try and regrow my body to kind of counteract the problems that my 10 solid years of running at a pretty high level caused for me, you know, my initial instinct is to say, well, I probably overdeveloped all the muscles on the backside of my body and the backside of my legs. Maybe I should just rebuild up all the muscles on the front of my body. But it sounds like this is more than that, that this is stretching in certain ways with different types of posture and also just having someone else physically manipulate.
Yes. So the manipulation itself is a slow, deep fascial manipulation with the client moving, gentle, slow, small movements that help shift the fascial layers and get them to lengthen and release. The idea that we need to strengthen more, one part of the body more than another, I have a little difficulty with that, in that the back of the body is always being counterbalanced, right? So, but it's not just the back and the front. It's being counterbalanced across all the joints. And so often the compensations bounce across the body, front to back and side to side. And we need to look at the body as a system, as a whole. And if you've ever heard of the idea of tensegrity and biotensegrity, tensegrity is a balance of tensional and compressional forces. And it's a web of tension where the compressional members, which are usually wooden dowels surrounded by rubber bands holding them all together, the dowels don't touch each other. They float within this web of tension. You can imagine a three-dimensional spider web with twigs floating within it. The twigs are pushing the web apart while the tension in the web is pulling everything together. Our bodies function in a similar way. Our myofascia, all our tissue is under constant tension. It's always pulling. It's always loaded. And the bones are pushing everything apart and keeping it spacious. And it's that balancing act between the two that creates our function and our order. Now, if we are tight all the time, it's going to be very compressive. But there's a potential of loosening up and expanding that system.
Eli, you're talking about people who are already tight. Is there a lesson or a message that you would have with people who can't relate to what the heck we're talking about right now, who is not tight, a little foreshadow of what may be coming?
Sure. I would say that tightness is not necessarily something that is felt. It's only felt when it gets strong enough to create symptoms. We're always have some tightness going on. Muscles only tighten, right? They shorten and release and shorten and release. The way we function, the way we live, if we can organize into efficiency, then we use minimal tightness, minimal force in the muscles. But if we organize inefficiently, say with a forward head posture, that requires all the muscles to compensate for that, to grip and to tighten and to prevent the head from going further forward. That grows into the system. So even though you might not feel it, it's still happening. It's still growing in.
Eli, I know your background is in engineering, but it also touches upon martial arts. And I can't help but think or hear in your voice that there is this combination of kind of the movement of our body, the engineering side. I don't want to say zen of martial arts, but certainly there's a part of being aware of our bodies in your background. It sounds like a perfect combination that you bring to the table.
Yes, very much so. Martial arts really guided me to a felt sense of how to move efficiently, of how to organize power and force into a fist or into a foot. And then breaking past martial arts into general movement and yoga and some Pilates and feeling how coordinated function, how efficiently that can be. When you look at an athlete or a professional dancer and they do these incredible explosive movements, slam dunking or ballet jump, it looks like they do it effortlessly. There's no force. It just manifests. They just flow through it. That is what we should be trying to achieve. If you look at me playing basketball and trying to slam dunk, you'll see a lot of force because I'm not at the point where I can finesse that. Other movements I can finesse, but that I can't.
So really the goal for us is to visualize being smoother in everything that we do. And one way is to keep the body moving and keeping the body moving properly.
Yes. And to feel, if you imagine flowing as you walk, if there is a pounding, if you can hear yourself walking, that's an indication that things are not functioning smoothly.
A lot of the patients that I potentially work with have a lot of chronic pain issues. And it's easy for me to say, yes, you should exercise more, but really in their shoes, it's a challenging thing to do some physical exercises and stretching, and it's much easier to just avoid the pain altogether. And I'm just wondering if there are groups of people that you feel like this might be too intense for, or that maybe they need a lead-in, or if there's people that maybe this type of therapy doesn't suit well.
There are a couple of groups of people that I might refer out. One is someone who can't tolerate intensity or is afraid of intensity. We're trying to change tissue that is not designed to change. So sometimes we run into intensity, not all the time. It's not the old Rolfing style, which had a reputation of being torturous.
That you couldn't get past the second visit.
Yes, and that is so unproductive. And the community as a whole, the structural integration community as a whole, has moved away from that in an appreciation that the softer we are, the softer they can be, which makes the work much more effective. If they're gripping their teeth and clenching everything, nothing's changing. And so it's unproductive. I can't force people to change. I'm not in the business of torturing people.
Well, through structural integration, it sounds like you're really helping people get a new lease on life. Eli Thompson, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor. Share it with your friends and family and write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.